Tennessee Valley Corridor exists to develop and promote technology industries in the Tennessee Valley. Collaboration between industries, government, and research facilities is at the core of this nonprofit organization. At the recent summit in Chattanooga, one of the discussion panels addressed the state of alternative energies. I spoke with panelist John Hurwich.
I'm an energy consultant. I've been working on alternative energy for over 30 years. Most of my work has been with the Department of Energy and with the Oak Ridge National Laboratory on everything ranging from solar energy to smart grid and electricity to transportation, all fields of alternative energy.
What do you see is the biggest challenge for alternative energies?
Well, there's two issues, and one is when energy prices are high, or more specifically, when gasoline prices are high, people really care about energy. And when gasoline prices are low, people don't give a darn about energy. And so right now we're in a time of high gasoline and oil prices, so people really care about energy. That's the key, because we have a lot of wonderful new technologies that have been researched and are ready for development and are ready for deployment. You see many of the things around here, Nissan bringing out the Leaf all-electric car. If gasoline was 30 cents a gallon, Nissan wouldn't have brought out that car. At $4 a gallon, it starts to be economic. So energy and energy prices, when they're high, they tend to drive innovation and they tend to drive new technologies being commercialized. And so a lot of the things that I've worked on over my career, that Oak Ridge National Laboratory, the TVA, when energy prices are high, especially transportation, fuel, and oil, then you can bring out some of these new technologies. And you see that starting to happen in the Tennessee Valley Corridor.
When you talk about sustainable energy, there's a lot that went into the biofuels, which actually turns out to not quite be that sustainable in terms of cost per unit. It costs more, basically, to produce and move that around.
Yeah, the transportation cost is part of the problem. So when you're talking about biofuels, you have several different moving parts. You've got the cost of whatever crop you're using, whether it be canola oil or sugar, if you're going to make ethanol. Okay, you've got the cost of moving that and producing it. So if you knew, for example, oil was going to be at $150 a barrel, then you'd be willing to make the investments to produce that biofuel. I know you can make it and still make a profit. But with oil going from $100 a barrel down to $30 a barrel, as soon as it gets below that threshold price, you can't. And so you can't attract the financing, you can't attract the capital. The technology keeps improving, but the target price keeps moving, and that's what makes it hard. It's people start and stop and start and stop. And so there's a lot of interesting technologies. The holy grail in biofuels tends to be more cellulosic ethanol, where we don't have to make it from sugar, but the price of that is still not sustainable to get the investment. We've really got to get technology improvements to make cellulosic ethanol more of an economic product.
And when you talk solar, when you talk wind, and you talk these alternatives, then you're talking about storage issues.
All true, and it depends on what scale you want it, right? And you're actually talking to an energy storage expert, because I used to run the Energy Storage Association. When I talk about storage, the first thing I do is talk about how much storage. Do you want milliseconds or seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks? Because if you just came through the tornadoes that you've had in your region and were without 5 days worth of electricity, you would have liked 5 days worth of energy storage. You really need a liquid fuel. You really need that diesel generator, that gasoline generator to get you through. If it's 1 or 2 hours, like maybe to back up your computer system and you want a UPS, then you can get by with a battery system where you can buy 1 or 2 hours to get you through. Same thing with wind energy. If you're TVA and you want to build 100 megawatts of wind and you have the Raccoon Mountain Pump Storage Plant, then you have your storage. If they require you to have storage on the plant site, then you need a different technology. So you might want to go to batteries or some other device. Solar, you can go to a thermal storage technology device. And some of the solar thermal concepts include saving the heat. With those intermittent renewable energy devices, it's all about trying to match the peak of our electricity needs with the intermittency of the renewable energy. And so there's a range of storage options out there, but it's very, very specific to both your application, your size, and your market.
I used to work in the Navy with a lot of lithium batteries. Those things were not safe. And I hear a lot of lithium technology. Has there really been a big improvement in that?
Yes. And to prove it, I just bought a car with a lithium battery in it. 3 weeks ago, I bought Infiniti's new hybrid product, where they're using lithium batteries. Every battery, every energy storage device has energy, and by definition, you have to treat it cautiously. If I said to you in 1910, I'm going to have you drive around on 20 gallons of highly flammable petroleum, gasoline. You'd go, what are you, crazy? I'm driving around on a bomb. And we are every day. So it's about engineering and how you control it. There's been dramatic improvements in lithium battery technology. And you said you had experience on a submarine. You're absolutely right. The batteries there are very, very large, a lot of energy in a small place. And they went to lithium because they're lighter weight than the traditional lead acid batteries, which we used in submarines before. Obviously, it's all a trade-off, but lithium batteries are very, very safe. We have them in our laptop computers. And now they are emerging into the car vehicle market. And like I said, Infiniti just came out with a lithium battery hybrid. Of course, some of the all electrics, I believe they're using lithium batteries in the Leaf, although don't quote me on that. You have to check with Nissan. And certainly Tesla, the all-electric car that's being produced out in California, they are looking at lithium batteries as well. So yes, I do think they're safe. And it's not just about the battery. It's how the whole car is engineered to keep it safe.
What do you think is the next best thing in energy?
I think the ultimate thing, but I think we're still years away, is the fuel cell. There's two technologies that I've seen in energy that are absolute magic. One is the photovoltaic array. You shine a light and you get electricity with no moving parts. It's pretty remarkable technology. That's all about cost. You see companies coming into Tennessee Valley to manufacture those technologies. And the other one is the fuel cell, because you're taking hydrogen, which you can get from water, and you're taking oxygen from the air, and you're making electricity and heat. And it's a pretty remarkable technology. Of course, we use it in space, and we're starting to see fuel cell devices and small products. But to get it ready for the mass market and for vehicles, it's still a very, very expensive technology. So I think that's one of our ultimate solutions that's still a decade or two away.
For more information on the Tennessee Valley Corridor, follow the links from our blog at wutc.org. For Around and About, this is Rabbit.